All right, so for today, what's our theme? Our theme is assurance. And we're going to chase that same theme. All right, you guys, we were in Peter, 2 Peter this morning. For our time together, we're going to be in the book of, somebody want to pronounce it? Habakkuk, all right? I've heard it Habakkuk or Habakkuk. And so we'll pronounce it however it comes out. All right, you know where we're headed. Habakkuk is a minor prophet, and so listen, if you're not familiar with the Bible, and there's two testaments, there's an old and a new. Towards the end of the old, you'll find several small little books written there, and one of these is written by this guy named Habakkuk. And so we'll be to that section in just a minute, but I want to share a thought today we're going to call rest assured. Rest assured, all right, talking about assurance. So with that, help me out here. What is something in your life that you are sure of? I know we're in church, you're going to get all spiritual on me and ruin it from the get-go. I'm sure my feet hurt, all right? Sure about dying. What are you sure of? Sure of my salvation, all right? Sir? On my way to heaven, all right? Okay. Sure morning's coming whether I'm ready or not. I've had those days. Somebody else, something you're sure of? The grace of God. Anyone else? He keeps all of his promises. Are you sure? All right. All right. I'm sure that I don't like waiting for the promises to be fulfilled. There's a little self-exposure there, right? And we're probably all there as well. Anybody else? Something you're sure of? Okay. Good. Wouldn't be who we are, right? Yeah. I wouldn't either. Well, that's the difference in anybody's life is Jesus, right? It's the grace. And apart from grace, we're just sinful people. With grace, we're sinful people who've been forgiven, who are being changed. And it's still all credit to God, right? I mean, he's the worker. I'm sure I mess up a lot. Yeah. Yes. Landry is sure that I'm her daddy. Good answer. I'm sure of that too. I wasn't sure God was going to let me be your daddy. And we've told you that story, Landry. We'll have to tell you all again one day. But all these people sitting around you, they prayed for you. We were sure of God's promises. We were sure he was in control. We weren't sure that she was going to make it, survive, become. But now there's a little breathing child who says, I'm sure you're my daddy. That's awesome. Yeah. I'll never get over that. Anybody else? Something you're sure of? You're sure? Yes, ma'am. Sure that the Word of God is true. This is good. You all are preaching. That's what it is, just declaring one to another what's true, what's right. Sir? Sure of worship. Oh, yeah. Sure I don't deserve it. Yeah. Sure I don't. Well, let me ask you some questions here. And you've answered some of these already, but we'll start a little bit on the surface, okay? Are you sure of eating lunch today? I heard yes, sir, and I hear no. Okay? Right. Are you sure of what you're having for lunch? No. So you may think you know where you're going. You may think you know what's cooking at home. But just as was said, something could happen that would make that thing become unsure, right? So at any moment, you know, things happen in life, and that's just how it works. We get phone calls, and things just quit working that once were just seemed to work beautifully. So at any moment, what we're sure of, or so we thought, we could be really unsure of, okay? Some of you students, are you sure you're going to go to school this year? Like, I wish I wasn't sure. All right? Are you sure you're going to graduate? Sure you're going to go to college? And lots of things we tend to want to write in stone or with ink when really life writes it with just pencil. You know what you can do with pencil? That's right. You can just erase it. And sometimes we want to etch it in stone, and it just doesn't work that way. How many of you are sure? The answer was, I'm sure I'm going to die. Are you sure that you're going to remain with the level of health that you have right now until that day? No. Okay. We'd like to be. Are you sure that you'll outlive your money? All right. We tend to think so, but anything can happen at any moment. I mean, people file bankruptcy. Things just happen. We're not prepared for it. Or we thought, and all of a sudden we've got empty hands. We're without. There are people all over this planet who are just that way. So we may or we may not. So things we might say that we're sure of are often unsure. It's kind of scary to live in an unsure world, isn't it? It's kind of unnerving. And so what we're looking at today is trying to be... You have a question? Oh, you're just praising God. Yeah, okay. So what we're going to look at today is the idea of walking out of here being sure about some things that we can be sure about and letting that influence who we are. Because those two things are very different. And we'll hit this briefly today. Things can be sure and we have no assurance. Both those things can be true at the same time. Something can be entirely sure and yet we lack any assurance about what's sure. And we'll get there here hopefully this morning. All right, so Habakkuk is where we're going to try to head this moment. Habakkuk chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there's one around you, use it. If you don't have a Bible, let us know. We'd love to buy one for you, put it in your hands so you can mark it up, you can write it up. Let it be your word to feed you, okay? So I'm not coming to your house looking for your spoon to feed me. You're not knocking on my door looking for a fork to feed you lunch today, right? You've got your own. And so that's how this should be this way. Right, we want to definitely feed here and train people to be self-feeders, to be in the Word regularly. But I don't want anybody to go through life a day without having access to truth, to the Word of God. So if you'd let us know, we'd love to make that purchase for you. So we've got this guy here named Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a prophet of God, and he's really not any different than you and I. Right, he's living in a time that's pretty distressful. He's got a lot of questions about things. Like one of the things he's going to ask God is, how are you allowing all this wickedness just to keep going? I mean, it seems like wicked people and evil is okay, and things that should be right are just deemed inappropriate and wrong. Kind of sounds like the day we're living in, right? And so he's got a complaint against God. So what we're going to see in Habakkuk, chapter 1, he's got his complaint. Chapter 2, God's going to answer. And chapter 3, then, Habakkuk's going to reply or respond to God's answer. So a question, the answer of God, and then you've got the reply of Habakkuk to what he has heard from God. All right, so let's go here today. Habakkuk chapter 2, we're just going to read the first three verses of that of this little book. He says, I will stand my watch, and I'll set myself on the rampart, and I'll watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am, what? Uh-oh, corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. All right? Though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. And so three things we want to note today as we progress really through the book, but primarily we'll highlight these verses as it relates to trying to understand what assurance looks like and how we can walk out of here rest assured that everything is under the influence and control of our God and that we can rest and live there as well. All right, so if you want to follow along in your bulletin, you don't have to, but we'll highlight three things as it progresses today. Number one, right, we can rest assured by expressing our distress in prayer. And so there's going to be a progression here. We're going to rest assured initially by expressing our distress to God in prayer. And so in chapter 1, what you're going to find is this guy Habakkuk, and he is entirely distressed. He's really frustrated. He's looking at the situation of life, and he says, this is entirely unfair. So evil seems to prosper. It looks like it's flourishing. And now what's supposed to be right, faithfulness and righteousness, seems to be taking a back seat. So what does he do? What do you do when you get to that place where you can't take it anymore? All right. You remember we shared a message here, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago about I've had all I can stands. Remember Popeye? That's it. I've had all I can stand. Some of you don't know Popeye. Popeye was this cartoon, this sailor guy, kind of a little scrawny guy, kind of like me. I remember he had like anchor tattoos or something maybe on his forearms. Is that right? And so Popeye would try to do good in this world, and all of these things kept working against Popeye. And so he wasn't like Iron Man or Batman. He wasn't like any of those superheroes. What would Popeye do to gain strength? That's right. That's how it works at your house, right? So Popeye would open that can of spinach, and he would eat this spinach, and all of a sudden he would just become this great, big, powerful man. And he could correct all wrongs, and ultimately he was trying to save his lovely olive oil, right? He was after the lady there. So he got to a moment where he would just say, I've had all I can stands. I can't stands no more. And then he would pop open his spinach. Sometimes in life, we got to get to a point like that, don't we? When do you pray the hardest? When you can't stands no more, when you're stressed out. When life's going good, sometimes a day or two or a week passes and it's like, I haven't really even prayed. Or my prayers have just kind of been weak, like I don't really even believe what I'm saying. But when you got death knocking, or you got a loved one who's really struggling, or you got a burden on your heart and you can't get rid of it, you start pouring your guts out, basically. And it's not pretty, and it's often not something that anybody else would even want to hear, but it's honest. And that's where Habakkuk is here. I've just had it, God. You're God, and I know that you're God, and how can you allow this to keep going on? And I think that way when I think about just millions of people who've not got the opportunity to experience life in this country because somebody else was willing to take life from them developed in the womb of a woman. I mean, you get to a point where you just, I can't stand it anymore. You've got to do something. How can you let things like this happen? So that's where Habakkuk is. Let's listen to his expression of his distress. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, how long? How long, Lord, must I call out for help, but you don't listen? How long must I cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction, violence, they're before me. There is strife, there is conflict, and it abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Does he sound a little stressed out? I mean, he's looking at this through the eyes of God thinking, you've got to do something. You know what is the hardest or one of the hardest things to do when you're stressed? What's one of the hardest things to do when you're worried or afraid? One would be admit it. What about when nighttime rolls around? You can't rest. I mean, how many times have you laid your head on a pillow and just wanted to go to sleep and you couldn't because your mind wasn't shut off? And you were scared, and you were worried, and you were angry, and you were frustrated, and you're trying to figure stuff out, and you're so tired that your body won't shut down because your mind won't shut off. Right? That's what's going on here. It's hard to rest. We're talking about rest assured. It's hard to rest when we're stressed. And so what we need to learn from Habakkuk here is there is a right way to deal with assurance and to get that assurance. And the thing is to express that distress. You know, you've not been built to carry that. I've not been built to deal with those things. God has, and God is. And so he's the one who's shaped us to turn these things over to his care. And so often I'll run to things that try to provide my assurance. And so if I feel like I need more money, what am I going to do? I'll try to get another job, or I'm going to try to ask for a salary increase, and I'm going to run after what I think is going to provide me more assurance. If it's health, if it's a relationship, whatever, peace, I'm going to run after often things here that we said right up front, I can't be sure of. And so Habakkuk here is teaching us, we got to run with our complaints even, to the one who can bring assurance. And what I love here is Habakkuk brings it that way. He comes just as he is. Listen, don't ever feel like you got to pretty up your prayers, because God sees your heart anyway. You ever talk to yourself when you're praying? Am I the only weirdo? That sounds weird, right? I don't mean I'm praying to myself. I mean, sometimes I'm praying something and it doesn't match at all what's going on in my heart. And I'm trying to make it pretty, and I'm trying to come before God. You're trying to be reverent, respectful, when really he's just got to look past my mouth and see my heart and just see that I'm angry. And I'm not really content with what you're doing. And I don't understand these things, but I'm praying, whatever you want to happen, God. All I want is your will. And really what I'm like, I want my will. So sometimes you just got to talk to yourself and just be honest. God, this is my heart and this is where I'm at. And I know it's not right. But I'm coming before you. I know you're big enough. Your shoulders are big enough to carry my ugliness. And along the way, you're going to correct me. Right? We read that this morning. I'm going to express this, and I know that you will correct me, or I will stand corrected. So Habakkuk is stressed, he's distressed, he's complaining, and now he's going to express in prayer to God what's going on in his life. Now, you ever been around somebody who likes to just dump on you? That's all they do, and it's like they feel better because they've dumped on you, and now they go away. And now you feel what? You feel dumped on. You just feel terrible. It's like, well, at least let me regurgitate some of this back to you. Oh, I'm so thankful that you stuck around to listen. Thank you. And sometimes we need to be there to be dumped on. Don't misunderstand me. But when we're expressing our distress, we need to also, when it comes to God, we need to stick around and wait for an answer. Right? It's not just, let me get this off my chest. It's, what do you want to say to me now? And so Habakkuk teaches us that here as well, here as we progress to this second point. We can rest assured by expressing it, but we need to also rest assured by trusting what God has done instead of what we see. Trust in what God has done here instead of what we see. Now, that's one of the hard things to do in life, right? So that's going to be our second point here today. We can rest assured by trusting what God has done instead of what we see. You ever feel like your perspective is spot on? I mean, you see this with absolute clarity. You know exactly what's going on in your heart, in that person's heart, whatever the situation may be. You see it exactly like it is. And what Habakkuk teaches us here is that we don't. We've got a limited perspective even on the details of our life. And so we've got to do something about that. Often all I have is just the little glimpse of what's really going on. And so for Habakkuk, he sees the hardship, right? And he's distressed about it. Why is evil flourishing? Why do people who hate God live in ways that are wicked, destroying their families, willing to do anything that is just not helpful for society? Why does it seem like they flourish and people who are striving hard just keep suffering? If all he dealt with what he could see, Habakkuk would have been in a world of hurt, wouldn't he? If that's all he had to deal with, he would have been in trouble. He expressed it, but then he did what? What's the W word? He waited. We sang it today. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so we see him waiting here. Now let's read it here. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. He's just complained to God, okay? Very next verse. I will stand at my watch and I'll station myself on the ramparts. I'm going to look to see what he'll say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. So Habakkuk knew that he could go to God and express himself, but now he's saying, I'm going to position myself in such a way that I can hear from God. I didn't come to dump on God and run. I've come here to hear what it is that you have to say. I've come here to see. I need your perspective, because he understood what he saw wasn't the whole picture. And so here's God's perspective. Verse 3, he replies, for a revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Though it linger, wait for it. It will, what's that next word? The bottom word on the left. It will certainly come, and it will not delay. And so God responds by saying, deliverance is on the way. Right? My plan is unfolding here. And so you need to just hang on just a little bit, Habakkuk. Now, if Habakkuk, all he could do was look at the situation with his eyes, he had no clarity from God, if he just heard that answer, his response, I think, would be like mine. Are you serious? You mean deliverance is being worked out here when evil is flourishing? You mean those who are trying to live right lives are being pressed down and persecuted, and things that are right just seem to be nasty and they're not tolerated anymore? You mean this is really deliverance? This is what it looks like? I mean, if his response was only cued by what he could see, I think that would be his response. I know that would be my response. But it wasn't about what Habakkuk could see. It was about God's perspective. And so that's why he said, I'm going to position myself and wait and look. Wait and look. Not wait and hear. Wait and look for what God's going to say. Because I need to see things, this situation, through the eyes of God. Seeing things God's way is never a physical eye issue. It's always a spiritual heart issue. Right? It's never about open my eyes physically so I can see something. It's God, speak to my heart. Let me have your perspective. What are you doing here? Help me understand. Now, this morning we sang a song written by a woman who could not see physically, but she could see spiritually. What's her name? Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby, if you don't know about her, Fanny Crosby was born able to see. About 6 months old, she contracted a disease, an infection in her eyes. Her doctor was out of town, so there was a neighborhood kind of guru or whatever who thought he could help. And so he put some salve on her eyes that was supposed to cure her infection. Ultimately, the infection went away, and with the infection went her eyesight. So she has no recollection whatsoever of seeing anything. 6 months old. Fanny Crosby is a woman who wrote over 9,000 choruses, songs, hymns that churches all around the world are still singing today. We sang one this morning. Fanny Crosby had a good friend named Phoebe. And Phoebe was an instrumentalist, but she couldn't write like Fanny. So you got Phoebe and Fanny. That sounds like a duo, right? Like a TV show. Phoebe and Fanny. And so Phoebe says to Fanny, hey, sit down and listen to this melody. I love how it sounds. I just can't put any words to it. And I know you can pen stuff, you hear it. So whatever this song says is saying, tell me. And so she sat down, and Phoebe did, and she plays this song on the piano. And Fanny replies by saying, well, it's singing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And so she sat down and she wrote out right there what we sang today. Isn't that amazing? Blessed assurance is what this is saying. Well, people used to come to Fanny and say, with pity, don't you wish God would just answer a prayer and let you see? And her response, she says, always was, no. And here's why. Because a day will come when I will be able to see. And the first face I see will be the one who died for me. Yeah. She's got a heart perspective, doesn't she? We tend to look at situations and think we've got the whole picture. It would be so much better for you, Fanny, if you could see the world. And she said, no, you don't have no idea. You have no idea. Fanny Crosby memorized the first 5 books of the Old Testament, verbatim, chapter verse. Fanny Crosby memorized almost all of the Psalms and Proverbs. She memorized the Gospels, chapter, verse, and she could call it out. What's Luke 7:29? And she could tell you the verse. How is that? She can't see. There was something spiritual there. There was something real. There was a delight in the truth and the Word of God. There was a hunger for it. And it didn't matter if she couldn't see. She had a grandma who would just sit there and read her truth. And who would read her truth. And who would read her truth. And just got etched in her mind. I think there's a God thing going on there too. I don't think we'll sit down and write now 9,000 hymns in our lifetime. There's a movement of God through her ability there that was uniquely Fanny's. But there was a spiritual hunger. There was a perspective that she had that sometimes we don't have as seeing people. Sometimes we need God's perspective on a situation. Sometimes we don't see the whole picture. We think we have it clearly, and yet we need to go to the Lord and say, all right, give me your eyes. Help me see this morning the way that you do. Miss Fanny trusted in the Word of God. Miss Wanda said it this morning. Psalm 19, verse 7, David said it this way. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Psalm 19, 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What are we talking about? What's the law of the Lord? What's the testimony of the Lord? What's the commandments of the Lord? The statutes of the Lord? The precepts of the Lord? The law of the Lord? What are we talking about? We're talking about the Word of God. And David said, it is sure. In a world that is full of things that are not sure, that lack certainty, David says, it's sure. And Miss Fanny would obviously echo that same sentiment here this morning. As we said at the start of this message, it's possible for something to be sure and you and I to lack complete assurance. Don't you think so? Is it possible that the Word of God is entirely true and we live like people who are panicked, who are stressed, who are worried or afraid, trying to figure it out, thinking we have the whole picture? And see what I'm saying? We're not resting assured, even though assurance is just waiting on us. And it's right there. The Word of the Lord is sure. It's absolutely everything we need. And so lacking assurance, not resting assured, it's not a God problem. That's usually a Corey problem. My eyes aren't fixed. I'm not just having his perspective, I'm trying to navigate it my own way. And so for Habakkuk, he was distressed, but he was also determined. I will have the perspective of God over this situation. And so he said, I'll wait. And I'll wait for an answer, and I'll position myself to look on what it is that he will say. And I love that thought there. Though it linger, wait for it. Though it linger, wait for it. It will come. It will not delay. Habakkuk was trying to trust God rather than what he could see. And the third and last here this morning, we can rest assured we're going to express it in prayer. Got to deal with it. Get it out. Wait on the Lord. Trust in His Word over what we see. And then third here, we're going to rejoice. This sounds crazy. Angry, worried, afraid, frustrated, rejoicing. Does that sound like something that should be a list of ingredients in that little soup bowl? No, you might remember Sesame Street used to have this little segment, and it had four little screens within a screen, and it said one of these things is not like another. Yeah, and so one of these would be maybe you have a drum, maybe you have a trombone, maybe you have a piano, and maybe you have a fish. So as a kid, you'd have to pick out which one of these is not like the other. So if we're looking at anger, worry, fear, rejoicing, which one of these is not like the other? Rejoicing. It just sounds totally out of context, out of place. Like how can this coexist with everything you've just said? Well, this is chapter 3. So if you've got your Bible there, you can flip that over. Habakkuk 3, it's also on the wall. Verse 2. Remember chapter 2, he started off by saying, all right, I've given you my complaint. I'm going to position myself to look on what you see. And now he's saying, verse 2, Lord, now I've heard. Lord, I've heard, and I've heard of your fame, and I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. And what he's going to go on to do in the rest of that chapter, or the middle portion of that chapter, is to remind himself of all sorts of great things that God had done, things past. And so he's just kind of revving his engine. You know, he's just getting his heart prepared for what's about to come. And he knew what was about to come was going to be much more challenging than anything that he had currently, or presently, or up to that point in his life, endured. So let's notice what he does here, thinking about what's ahead of him. Judgment's coming on the nation of Israel. They're going to be taken captive, and it's going to get ugly. And Habakkuk knows that. And so here's what he says. Habakkuk 3, verse 16 through 19. I heard what's coming, and my heart pounded, and my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. You ever been there? I know what's on the horizon, and I am terrified. At the point of death, I just can't stop thinking about it. It's consuming me. And yet the very next portion here, he says, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. That sounds like wisdom. I will wait patiently for this calamity from this nation. I will sit here and wait. Verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, verse 18, yet I will, what is it? I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And so here again, one of these things is not like the other. You've got no figs on the fig trees. You've got no crops in the field. You've got no grapes on the vine. There's no sheep in the pen. There's no cattle in the stalls. Doesn't that sound horrible? And maybe for us, we can't fully relate. That's saying I have nothing to eat and I have no job to supply my livelihood. So think of that. You're going home to everything empty, nothing, no food. And you've got no job to sustain any kind of life whatsoever. Does that give you a little more perspective here? That's where Habakkuk is. All right, then what does he say? And yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful because God is my rest. I will be joyful because God is my Savior. I will be joyful because God is my strength. And none of that changes. Those things are sure. Even though there's no figs on the tree, there's no crops in the field, there's no sheep in the pen, there's no cattle in the stalls, he is still God. And of this here today, he says, I am sure. So even in my time of treachery, I will find rest. Here's how it reads in the New King James Version, Habakkuk 3:16. When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might, what's that word? That I might rest. That I might rest assured. That I might rest in the day of trouble. Not after my troubles are over, but when this comes on us. I know it's going to be horrible. I know it's going to be something I've never experienced. And yet, I rejoice. And yet, I rejoice. Listen, sometimes it sounds crazy to rejoice in the midst of trial, doesn't it? However, if you have ever experienced the assurance of God and you've gathered together like we have today and you're going through a trial, man, worship is real. There is a connection there probably like none other. You've got a better perspective of God, or even if you're growing in your understanding of who God is, when we gather together, that then all of a sudden becomes real. Then we have this kind of perspective. What did Habakkuk do? He reminded himself of what God had done. He says, I know tomorrow's going to be difficult, but I will rejoice. God will give me rest. He's my Savior, and he'll give me strength. I have feet like deer, right? It doesn't mean you're going to get hooves, right? It means that on treacherous times, you're going to be able to navigate that with the Spirit of God. If you've ever seen a deer, they can turn on a dime. And they are fluid. They can jump. They can stop. Turn, it's just, they're a beautiful creature to behold. And he says, that's the way you're going to be. You're going to have my strength. You're going to have my spirit. I'm going to navigate you through this situation. Listen, we come together on a Sunday, and worship isn't just on Sunday, but when we gather on a Sunday, this roof should bounce because we have every reason to rejoice. You know, we come in here and we say, well, I'm doing okay today. Had a rough week, and it's good for us to be honest. Don't misunderstand me. But if my heart was prepared throughout the week, it wouldn't be about, well, I'm just really struggling. I don't feel good. I'm so tired. I can't believe I got to do this tomorrow. I'm just scared. What? I don't know. I don't have the answer. If we came in here saying, God is my rest, and God is my Savior, and God is my strength, and I will rejoice in the day of my calamity, I think our services would look differently. And I'm just talking about me. I'm not talking about you. Getting our hearts ready, showing up ready to worship. It would be so much different. And so the challenge and the call here at this point anyway is to me and it's to you as well. Rejoice as you wait for God. Rejoice in that. Not when it's over, not when you're through it. We'll give thanks for that moment. But we can celebrate and rejoice God in the midst of the struggle and in the midst of the trial. One of two thoughts will always dominate our way of thinking as believers. And it will either be my trial, my trouble, my days of calamity, or it will be my God. And that will be demonstrated in how I live my life. That will be demonstrated, just as we said, in how we worship. I'll live that out. And so Habakkuk was unwilling to be dominated by calamity. I don't understand it. I'm expressing it. I'm going to wait for you to answer. I've got your answer. You're God. It's not happening yet, but wait on it. It's going to linger, but it will not delay. At the appointed time, it will come. Therefore, he says, I've got every reason to rejoice. Got more than reason to celebrate. And definitely have reason to rest assured. Rest assured. But for me, this thought really settled in. We're closing here. Last Sunday night, we were in Florida visiting family. And my father-in-law is a farmer, and they live out in the middle of cotton fields and corn fields and peanut fields, woods. I mean, there's just, you know, the closest house is maybe a quarter mile, and the next closest house is maybe a mile. I just love it, by the way. My wife says, please don't take me back to the farm. She wants sidewalks. I want cornrows. Those straight lines give me comfort and peace. I'm just wired that way. About 10 o'clock last Sunday night, loading up the van. Stephanie had come out and she went back in. We walked out and she said, oh, look at the stars. And we got there about 10:30 the previous Monday night and we got in the stars route. And I told the girls, I said, hey, look around. We don't see this at home. And so they were like, hey, stars, and went in the house. And I tried to make a mental note, make sure you get out here before you leave again. And so I'm thinking God used Stephanie as my mental note because this is the night before and I had forgot about coming back out and look at the stars. So loaded the van, I'm standing outside, and she goes in the house, and so I'm just looking up. Man, there's a lot of stars here. And you know what happens the more you gaze at stars? That's right. The more stars you see, the bigger, you can just start seeing that perspective, right? And so I stood there for a minute and just kind of blown away by that. You know, we live here in Granite and we've got a street light in our front yard and a street light in our backyard and you just don't see a whole lot unless they're super bright. And this was just like a movie. And so I did one of these. I'm just looking like they're everywhere. I just kept walking around. This is so impressive. And I got impressed by how huge the universe is. And how, I mean, I can't hold anything up. You know, stay there. I can't hold anything up. And you've got millions of stars that they're just staying right there. They're not dropping. I mean, if they started to drop, we'd be done. Most of them are bigger than we are, planet. And so I'm just staring there, look at that, and getting a glimpse of how big God is. And just starting to let that kind of fill me up. He's a big God, Corey. Everything you think you'll ever be concerned about, He's already taken care of that. Don't you worry. Don't you fret. Don't you stew. Try to figure it out. Trust Him. Follow Him. And so it says, that got bigger, I got smaller. And that's not a bad perspective to have. As He got bigger, I became more and more humble. You know, when John said, He's got to increase so I can decrease. And that's how I felt standing there. And so I'm looking at these stars. You know, people tend to say, hey, just make a wish on a star. Why not just trust in the one who created the stars? You wish on a star, it's never going to come true. It's a pretty song and it works good in Disney movies. But you trust in the creator of the stars, that'll change your life. And so I had this just assurance just flowing. He's created these things. The Bible says He knows them by name. We read it this morning. How many has He lost out of Isaiah 40? Not one of them. He holds everyone in their position. And so it was just flooded up. If He's going to hold them, He's going to hold me. And it was just this piece of assurance that He's God and I don't have to be. And so I stood there. I was ready. My kids were in bed. I just wanted to bring everybody out and have a little church. I mean, I was just full. So just stood there and prayed and gave thanks just for something so simple. You know, maybe a good challenge or a good thing for us to do maybe some point this week, just go to some place where you can see some stars and just sit and look for a while. He's not going to write a message in them, but He may use His creation to speak to your heart to remind you that He's God. Maybe you need some perspective about the situation that you're dealing with. You know, sometimes we went to Florida and you get away and it's just like things that seem big and you got so much to do, it's like, that's just a little bitty part of life. And it's important, don't misunderstand me, but sometimes when we're in it, we're all consumed with it, like this is entirely life. When no, God's entirely life. Don't get consumed with your little situation. Maybe you just need to steal away, take a chair or a blanket, and be reminded of how big your God is, how much assurance that He has for you. It's a good opportunity just to be humbled and to turn some things over. I was reminded God knows me. I want to remind you today that God knows you too. He knows exactly where you are. He looks beyond our pretty prayers. He sees our heart. He says, you're my kid. You're my child. You think I don't love you? You think I'm not going to look after you? I'm not going to provide for you? You think I don't know what's best for you? I've got your peace. I've got your assurance. You just need to float, come my direction. Lay these things down. Express it with your mouth. Trust in what He has said over what you see. And then just rejoice in what is yet to come. We can celebrate as victorious Christians today, even in the midst of calamity, because we know victory's on the way, don't we? Got every reason today to rejoice, to live from a position of victory.